just tell it like it is. There have been a lot of them come through here in the last 8 years, a lot of them. A lot of them's come, a lot of them's gone. A lot of them stick and some of them flown. But I thank God that that ain't stuck. I thank God that ain't stuck. I thank God tonight that you stuck. The ones that stick, I'm not talking about union. I'm talking about the ones that stick with God is the ones going to be in heaven. The ones that stick, like a sticky trap. You can't get off. You're just stuck on it. That's why I carry him to Broken Lives with me. Right there. Boy, thank God for you tonight. I'm going to just share something with you now. I'm going to preach just a very little, but I'm going to preach tonight on bitterness in a Christian's life. I got to go there because I've been there here lately, bitter. You won't get a lot of time to stand behind the sacred desk and tell you something like that, but I'm going to tell you. I called my wife at work this week, and I said, baby, I said, are you worried you can talk? And she said, yeah. I said, I got to apologize to you. She said, what is it? I said, I've been bitter. I've been bitter. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Folks, tonight we're going to look in the book of Ephesians. Before you turn there, I want you to get this, though, what the book of Ephesians is about. The book of Ephesians is not written to lost people. The book of Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus. It's written to the saved. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, Paul records down under the inspired of the Holy Ghost to let all bitterness leave your life. And tonight, God has hit me between the eyes this week of the bitterness that lies in my life. And maybe you're not there tonight. If you've not never been there, you're okay. You just sit there and we'll get on through this. But I'd ask you a question tonight. Are you bitter tonight? Maybe some things has happened this year that's made you bitter. Maybe some things has happened in your life that's made you bitter. Maybe you've had to put up with some people that's made you bitter. Maybe there have been some things that's come your way that you couldn't do nothing about, and instead of making you better, it's made you bitter. Folks, tonight, if it's in the book, and he was writing to the church of Ephesus then, that same bitterness is in the church now. And how I know it's in the church now is because it was in this preacher. You know, tonight I want to show you where you don't take long to get bitter. You know, when you're bitter, your attitude, you know what it does? It stinks. And my attitude had got to a place. Maybe you didn't see it. It doesn't matter if you've seen it. As long as the Holy Ghost showed it to me, that's when I need a change. Tonight, I thought of something tonight as Brother Kevin called my home and told me about Brother Hayden and Sister Kenzie. I'd have hated to know that he convicted me of that, Sister Kenzie, on Monday. And I come here and prayed for you tonight and that precious baby. With bitterness, that root of bitterness in my heart, that prayer would have been useless and been in vain. But because I took care of business on Monday, I was ready to pray tonight. Folks, tonight, bitterness will kill a church. It'll kill it. Bitterness will kill a Christian quicker than anything. And bitterness is not of God. It's not of God. Bitterness tonight is not of the fruit of the Spirit. It's something in our life that he says that we must remove. Tonight I would ask you as we go over this study tonight, would there be any bitterness found in your life tonight? Would there be anything tonight? I'll stand at the funeral home going to preach. And this is where it come from, Brother Tony Woodham. I stand at the funeral home and I just got done praying with the family. And I walked to the door waiting on them to come from the casket. And me and Brother Danny Thompson and Brother Jason Clifton was sitting there. And Brother Danny Thompson, I was talking about his daddy-in-law. What a great man of God he was. And he told me, he said, one time there was something in my life that was going on that I had to get real with, and it was bitterness. When he said that word, it knocked me down. You know, I knew the handwriting was on the wall. I knew that word was from me because I know the handwriting because my daddy writes with it. Amen. You ever seen somebody's handwriting and you knew whose it was? When they called old Daniel in there and they said, whose handwriting is this on the wall? Old Daniel said, oh, I know who that is. That's my daddy's. Folks, when God writes on your heart and he says, this ain't right, I knew it wasn't Brother Danny Thompson talking. I knew it was the Holy Ghost of heaven speaking to my heart. Right then, at that moment, before I walked in to preach that funeral, I couldn't get on my knees. I couldn't do none of them things. I just bowed my head and I said, Lord God, you know where that root is and you know where it's growing. If you'd see fit, would you just pluck that thing on out of there? And folks, I want you to know from that moment to right now, I feel like I've been born again. I didn't get saved again, oh no. But I feel like I did that day when I got saved. Man, there's just a flowing through my veins tonight. And I want to share with you tonight, bitterness in a Christian. Bitterness in a believer. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 29, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind. That's a church word. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord God, this afternoon as we've come assembled together, I don't believe for one minute that you convicted my heart with the bitterness standing there, or there wouldn't be another one here tonight. Lord, I could have moved it off and went to the book of John and went on through John 13. But Lord God, as that convicted me, you told me to share it with my folk. Lord God, what would be a shepherd if he didn't tell the truth? What would be a shepherd if he didn't show them the way? They may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Lord God, you are the good shepherd tonight. And Father, as we look over this portion of your word, I would ask you tonight to cover their ears tonight with the Holy Ghost. Allow Satan not to rob anything from them. But as the Holy Ghost surrounded Brother Jerry Gabby a while ago, Lord God, I'd pray tonight that everybody in this place would check their heart tonight and make sure that little root of bitterness ain't trying to spring up somewhere. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Bitterness in a believer. Bitterness in a believer. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to the faithful saints at Ephesus. And in chapter number 4, he covers an area that will destroy a church and destroy the joy in a Christian's life. And church tonight, that is, he covers the bitterness in a believer. But tonight you ask a question, preacher, how do I get rid of bitterness in my life? How do I get rid of that bitterness that's on the inside tonight? Folks, tonight, and if you'll look with me tonight in verse number 21, the first thing that the writer pins down is this. with the pen from the Holy Ghost of heaven, he pens down that we must prevent corrupt communication. He says tonight in verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You said, preacher, I can't believe corrupt communications would come from a Christian. There'll be more corruption come from the mouth of a Christian than there'll ever be come from a sinful man. Folks, tonight, you know tonight that your tongue is a flaming fire. And it tonight, it can speak life or it can speak death. And he says tonight, by preventing corrupt communications. And tonight, that would be to prohibit a rotten conversation. This week, as I studied this since Monday, I asked myself if I've been having any rotten conversations. Has my conversations been rotten? Every time I speak to somebody, does it edify Christ? Does it build the church or does it destroy the church tonight? He says tonight that we must prevent corrupt communications. Number one, by prohibiting rotten conversations. Number two, by forbidding the insult of other people in conversations. Tonight, if you're a born-again believer, the conversation that comes out of your mouth should never tear down anybody. It should uplift them. You say, well, what I talk is the truth. It doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. If it's not edifying that person, I should keep my mouth shut tonight. I'm preaching to me what he showed me this week. He said that I must prohibit rotten conversations. I must forbid insult in conversations. I should stop the name calling in any conversation wherever I go tonight. Friends, I want you to know tonight I fall guilty sometimes in my life. You say, well, preacher, I just call it like I see it. Friends, tonight you don't have the authority to call it, and I don't neither. There's only one that has the authority tonight, and that is Jesus Christ. Friends, tonight it doesn't matter what a man does. It doesn't matter what a woman does tonight. Jesus Christ, he died for every one of them. He died for them on the cross tonight. And God's convicted my heart of having that root of bitterness inside of me. If I'm judging somebody, it is no better than the lost man sitting out there. He's not giving me the authority to judge, and he's not giving me the authority to use corrupt communication. Can I get an amen? Friends, tonight, when you start that corrupt communication and you get around people and all there is negativity and all they're doing is talking about people and running people down, it won't be long you'll start talking about people. It won't be long you'll start running people down. Or let me say, I'll do that if I'm not careful. I must guard my mouth. I must guard my speech. Do you know tonight that loose lips will sink the ship tonight? Friends, tonight, loose lips and talking about people, it'll sink that ship tonight. I thank God tonight that he shows us what we need to do. He says not only we prohibit rotten conversations, not only should we forbid insult in conversations, not only should we stop the name calling in conversation, but we should avoid gossip or anything that's in an evil conversation in our life. Friends, tonight, the church, if there's one thing as a church body that we don't need to do, we don't need to gossip about nobody, even if you know the truth on them, we don't need to tell it. Can I get an amen? Well, I know I wouldn't get a whole lot of them tonight because you feel the same way I felt Monday. You feel the same way I felt Monday. He says no corrupt communication must come from these lips. Friends, tonight he says that you cannot have good things come out and bad things come out. That is not what God has called us to do. He said that we must avoid these things in our life. Prevent that corrupt communication. And that communication tonight could be through talking. It could be through texting. It could be through email. It could be through anything. If it doesn't glorify God in our communication tonight, we must not send it, we must not read it, we must not talk it tonight, because tonight you are the body of Christ. If you don't know tonight that God has called you to be something, friends, he says in the Word of God, be ye holy for I'm holy tonight. And he didn't start with the flock before he got the shepherd. Can I get an amen? Woo, glory. Now that's where I've been this week. Can I get a hello? Look what he said tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 1 in verse number 15. Turn with me there. While you're turning there, you know what God told me this week? You're too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses and not trying to keep up with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Too busy trying to keep up with this crowd. Too busy keeping up with these individuals. And you're not trying to keep up with me. He said, watch your communication everywhere you go. Make sure that communication is suitable for where you're at. He says tonight in 1 Peter 1:15, be ye holy for, look here, verse 16, be ye holy for I'm holy. But look what he says in 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Folks, tonight, when he nailed me to the wall with this, I'm telling you, he nailed me down on it. He said, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter where you go, you make sure every conversation you have, be holy. Well, it's just my wife I'm talking to. He said, I don't care. I'm telling you, I'm preaching at me. You don't have to take this. Hey, you don't have to take it. I said, it's just my wife I'm complaining to. He said, yeah, but you got a 16-year-old, and the only thing separating her and the conversation you have is sheetrock and a little bit of insulation. He said, if you're not careful in your communication, you may turn her away from what I've called her to do. That's where I've been this week. He says, every conversation that you have, it must be holy in the sight of God Almighty. Do you know tonight it says that every idle word I'm going to give an account and you're going to give account for in the Bible, every time you're on Facebook and you have sinned, I want you to know tonight you'll give an account for every post that you hit send on, everything that you look on that cell phone, and the history you make and erase that history on your cell phone, but you listen to this preacher tonight, there's a history book tonight that's been written in heaven, and you'll give an account for everything you look at on that phone, everything that you see on that phone, every conversation you have tonight, I want you to know it's recorded in heaven. And I would ask you tonight one question, and this is my question that God asked me. Oh, would you be pleased with the communication that is coming from your mouth tonight? Friends, as a church, there's one thing that we need to do. Our communication and our conversation tonight, it must be holy in the sight of God tonight. And he says that tonight. Prevent that foolishness. Get away from that tonight. Let me show you in the text. He said, I want that conversation tonight. And he says this tonight, to prevent corrupt communication. James 3:13, the Bible says, who is a wise man and endued or gifted? Who is a wise man that's endued or gifted? If you're born again tonight, he's endued you with power from on high. And he's gifted you tonight. He says tonight, who is a wise man and endued or gifted you with knowledge among you? And he put a question mark there in the book. James chapter number 3, verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness tonight. He said, who among you has been endued or gifted with that power from on high or that knowledge of that book? You know, I can know everything about this book tonight. I can read and I can study it and I can stay in my study hours upon hours and I can preach this word tonight. But if my conversation stinks when I get around you, it won't matter what I've learned tonight. I can come to church and raise my hands as high as I can anybody. And I can sing all the songs that Brother Brian puts on and Sister Denise picks out. But if my conversation stinks and it's not holy, everything I do here will be useless out there. Folks, tonight, let me back up. When I got born again, he called me to live a different life. And he called me in a different way. And he's called you the same way. I wrote this down, very, very cliche that you know, what's in the well will come up in the pail. What's in the well is going to come up in the pail. And tonight I want to show you this, and I'm telling you this in the most love as I can, because I've been beat this week with this. Can I get a witness? Boy, I'm telling you what. I'll never forget that night. Let me just go on. I ain't going to go there. All right, verse number 30. Not only preventing corrupt communication in verse number 29, how to get that bitterness out of a believer. Tomorrow when you get up, I'm going to tell you what you don't even realize, what I didn't even realize. Tomorrow, the first conversation you have, you see if it's talking about somebody, downgrading somebody, or is it upbuilding them. In the morning, when you get up and you go to work and you about your business, you see if the first conversation you have, what it's doing. You see if the second convert, you see if it's building up or tearing down. And it'll show you if there's any bitterness in your life. If you jump in on them conversations, there's a little root on the inside. And that thing's wanting to be fanned, not by God, but by Satan. He says tonight, look here, the second thing tonight is, the first thing is, prevent corrupt communications. But the second thing that we must, in verse number 30, we must promote the Holy Spirit. And if our communication's evil and it's corrupt, that is not promoting the Holy Spirit. You know what it's doing? It's quenching that spirit. It's quenching that spirit. Look what he says in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we grieve the Holy Spirit, we will see something growing in our lives. If we grieve that Holy Spirit and our communication is not where it needs to be, you'll see something to start growing. And I've got to show you the picture God showed me in this word. I know he showed millions of preachers before, but I've never read it this way. He put my spiritual goggles on this week, this way. And I've got to give it to you because it's done me good. Promoting the Holy Spirit, if we don't do that, there's something start growing in our life. And look in verse number 31. Let all bitterness. I'm going to give you what he says. He says here five things that'll let you know if there's a little root of bitterness in your life. If there's a little root of something that needs to be gone with tonight. He said, let all bitterness. And here's what bitterness is. Bitterness starts on the inside. Bitterness is never on the outside. Okay? I can be bitter and you not know it. Bitterness is this tonight. You're hard. You're rude. You're ill. You're dislike a lot of things that's going around you. Bitterness is harshness, rude, ill, dislike, a lot of things that's going around. Nothing's pleasing you at this moment in your life. You're snappy. You're just snappy. Well, I've always been that way, preacher. You've always had a root of bitterness. If you're always snappy, well, that's just the way I talk to each other. Well, you got a root of bitterness. Both of you do. That's what God showed me this week. I don't want you where I was Monday. I don't want you there. I want to warn you so you don't have to go down that path. You don't have to go through that. Listen to this now. He said there's bitterness, harsh, rudeness, ill, dislike, a lot of things. But look what he says. He says, and let all bitterness. And here he also says, in the King James, he says this, and all wrath. Bitterness, nobody sees that harsh, rude, ill, dislike. You don't like nothing around you. Nobody sees that. That's on the inside. You've not come out with it yet. But when you have wrath, it starts irritating you and you become unhappy. You see that root of bitterness first. You done got rude, you done got ill, and you dislike everything, but you ain't letting nobody know. You're wearing a good mask and you paint it up pretty good. But then it comes to wrath. Let all wrath. You're irritated and you're unhappy. This is what bitterness in a Christian will do. You become irritated and unhappy. And then he says not only all bitterness and all wrath, but all anger. And here's where anger starts. Anger, you done passed the illness and the dislike and a lot of things. You done been there so long. You done been irritated so long and unhappy. Now you got anger. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, husband. Do you know when your wife's angry? Yes, you do. You can lie if you want to. I know when Brandy Mills ain't happy. I know when I've done something that ain't right. Brandy, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you know when I'm angry? 20 years, we better know each other when we're angry, right? Folks, listen to this tonight. Let me give you this. And when you're angry, what started off as bitterness just on the inside and a little wrath, everything's been kept. Nobody knows. Now you become angry in front of people, and there's a fury that comes upon you. There's a rage that comes upon you. There's a violence that comes upon you. And you know what that anger does? It starts something in your life called clamor tonight. He said, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, and all clamor. And here's what clamor does. It's just like glamour. What you had on the inside, nobody knew about. The Bible says if you let that root keep on growing, not only is it going to be clamor, it's going to be glamorous. It's going to be glamorous. You know what's glamorous? Something you can see. It'll be on your face. It'll be something that people don't like and they'll be trying to get away from. Instead of you uplifting the Spirit of God, you'll start running them away. He said, let all, look here in the Bible. He says, let all clamor. That's when you've done through the bitterness stage. You're done through the wrath. You're done through the anger. And now you come to the clamor where you start causing a ruckus. You start bleeding over to others because you want them to feel like you feel. Because something that I didn't deal with at the root of bitterness, I've done come with wrath and anger and clamor, and now I want everybody that's around me to feel the same way I do and get on the same boat I'm on. And for long, that happy Christian becomes a bitter Christian. But let me give you this. He says he didn't stop there. He didn't stop with just bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. But look what he says in the book. And evil speaking. And evil speaking. And that evil speaking is this. To harm one and tear down one. Tonight, that little bit of root of bitterness that will be in a man's life, it won't be long the person that you say you love, that you pray for, that you do all these things for. I'm not, it ain't got to be your family member. It can be one of your best friends. You'll start tearing them down to other people. I'd ask you a question tonight. You say, don't be meddling, preacher. God meddled in my life, and I just want to give you what he gave me. Have you tore anybody down? That one you're supposed to be praying for, that one you told them, I'll pray for you, when you get behind closed door, you tear them slap down. Folks, tonight, that'll be bitterness in your life like you've never seen. As I read this book tonight, I thank God that I stayed at the bitter stage and didn't go all the way through the stages. Can I get a witness tonight? Thank God that he whooped me on Monday and didn't have to get all the way to Wednesday. Folks, tonight, bitterness will come in your life like never before. And when you get bitter, only God will make you better. This may be my last sermon here. If it is, praise God. Praise God. I'm fine with that. Because I know tonight who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I know tonight if you got real and I get real, this message applies to everybody in this congregation. Ain't a person sitting out here it don't affect. It can be 90. Or you can be 9, and it'll affect you. Because we all deal with a little root of bitterness. Folks, I want to give you this tonight. He says we must not have corrupt communication. We must uplift the Holy Ghost. Promote the Holy Ghost. But he says the third thing there in this, and this is something that I pray we pride ourselves in. He says be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. What did it cost you to be kind?
Nothing.
What's it going to take from you to be kind?
Nothing.
But folks, you know what? You can't be kind if you're bitter. When that bitterness is in that life, you can't be kind. You're going to snap on somebody. You're going to be rude to somebody. You're going to vent somewhere. And you know what that does to a born-again believer? It tears that witness slap down. If there's one thing I want God to say in my life is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Folks, tonight, let me show you in this text, and we'll close and go on to the house. I want to show you tonight what he says, the bitterness in a believer's life. Not only do we prevent corrupt communication and promote the Holy Spirit, but we must protect one another. Protect one another. Tonight, you're my brothers and sisters. And I've said this 100 times. My sister's sitting out there, Chaska. She's sitting out there. And I have misspoke a lot of times about this. I said, I can talk about her, but you better not talk about her. That's wrong. God convicted me this week about that. Listen to me. Well, they're my family. It don't matter who they are. If it's not uplifting them, don't talk about them. I've said from this sacred desk, God's whooped me on this. She's my sister. If I can talk about her, but you can't. God said, that ain't even right. He says we must love one another. Look what he says. He says that we must protect one another in verse number 32 and be ye kind one to another. Colossians 3:12, the Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man, no matter who you are, if any man have a quarrel, got a problem with a brother, or against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's forgive one another. Let's love one another. That bitterness has got to go. I think one thing that old Satan's really put into play during the COVID is bitterness. It don't take long to get bitter. It don't take long. But he says we must protect one another by being kind to one another. Here's the second thing he said in the verse number 32. By being tenderhearted. By being tenderhearted. Now that goes a little bit deeper. I know if I'm supposed to be tenderhearted and I'm not, Detroit English tells me I'm hardhearted. If the Bible tells me to be tenderhearted and I'm not tenderhearted, I must be hardhearted. He says in the book, by being tenderhearted, 2 Peter 1:7, the Bible says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. You know what trumps every bit of this? Love. Love. You know what bitterness tries to smother out? Love. Let me give you this tonight. Not only that we must protect one another by being kind and by being tenderhearted, but we must be kind one to another and tenderhearted and protect one another by forgiving one another. When I called my wife on the phone, you said that's supposed to be private, y'all would say. God wanted me to make it public tonight, though. When I called her, I said, baby, I've been being real ill and real short and real snappy. And I asked you to forgive me. And she said, what, you ain't been doing that? What are you talking about? And I said, listen, God done showed me. But do you remember what I said? Before it ever comes out here, he'll show you in here. Before it ever gets on your face for the whole public to see, he'll show you privately what's going on in your life. He'll show you right in your heart what's going on. If I've preached it one time, I've preached it a million times. You don't have to go to hell to go to heaven. You don't have to have a testimony from here to Ewan of all the sins and all the wrongs that you've done. You don't have to go through all that. And tonight I want to share with you this right here in closing. And I believe it's just fitting for what God's laid on my heart tonight. And this, by the way, this message was for me. This message was for me tonight, and I want to share with you the kind of week that I've had. I'm happy. I'm excited. And I thank God that when Brother Kevin called this evening and gave me the news that I didn't have to deal with it right then. Monday, when he showed me what was trying to grow in my life, I handled it right then in the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, here's what I wrote down at home. I wonder this afternoon, who is sitting right now in the chairs in front of me, who's a believer in Jesus Christ, but is bitter to the core. And you're saying, man, I know I'm bitter. My conversation ain't always holy. There have been times that I've even grieved the Holy Spirit. And I know that I shouldn't be tearing a brother or sister down, but should be protecting them. And I wonder if that individual sitting there tonight would say, Lord God, you've hit me privately tonight so it didn't have to be made public. Lord God, please remove this little root of bitterness in my life that if I'm not careful, will become a tall tree in my life. Folks, tonight I bring that word to you because that word was brought to me. And if this church is going to be what God has called it to be, there's some things that's going to have to be plucked up and got out. And one thing will have to be plucked up and got out is this right here. That's bitterness. Tonight I would ask you a question. How long has it been since you felt, I have no more bitterness on the inside? I have nothing else. I'm free. Satan wants to wrap you up. He wants to hold you up. And number one thing, the number one thing I believe he does in the church, he makes an individual bitter. He makes him bitter. Anybody that'll leave a church, when they leave a church, you know why? Because they was made bitter. Or they grew bitter. And until they get right with God, they will continue to be bitter. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I want to thank you tonight for Monday about 2:50, standing in Ott's funeral home. I want to thank you for a man of God that spoke a word that nobody knew but me. The word he spoke was not even in a sentence to me. But when I seen the handwriting on the wall, I knew it was for me. And Lord God, tonight as a church, I would wonder tonight which one of the sheep has been bitter just a little bit too long. A little bit of bitterness is way too long. Lord God, tonight, as we stand in your presence tonight and we love you and we thank you for what you do, I thank you for your good grace and your good mercy. And I thank you tonight, Father God, that we don't have to continue that way. But your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, tonight I pray it will be named about this church here that we protect one another, that we love one another, that we're kind to one another, that we're tender-hearted to one another, and we uplift one another. Lord, I'd pray it would be announced about this church that there's no corrupt communication coming out of nobody's mouth. And Lord God, I would pray tonight that it would be said about this church, Father God, that they uplift the Holy Spirit. Lord, I praise your holy name tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask and I do pray. All of God's people said, amen. Sister Denise, right where you're at tonight, would you please stand tonight?